Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Good. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. I'm glad to be back here with you again on another Sunday evening.
And I love John chapter 21.
We do.
It's one of my favorite chapters.
Yeah.
And it's always nice. It's always awesome to read it this time of year. You know, it's between the resurrection and Pentecost, and it's between the resurrection and the ascension, I should say, and close to Pentecost. And this is an exciting time of year.
It is. Yeah. There's all the, I mean, the season of Easter is a great time of the year in the church calendar, because we recount about the resurrection of Jesus Christ from
Amen.
The dead.
Yeah.
You know, the first fruits. He's the first fruits of those who are going to rise from the dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're going to share in that inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That's a great time.
That's right. Paul calls him the first fruit of the resurrection, which means we're going to be doing it too. He's just the first one that did it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ooh, I always say, I hope he comes back today. Every morning I say, Lord, are you coming back today? That would be awesome.
If you haven't gotten an answer yet, have
not yet.
One of these days you might.
One of these days I'll be right.
Coming back today, Lord. Boom. There he is. Whoa.
I always freak people out on all my Bible studies when I say, I hope it's tonight. Everybody goes, oh, what do you mean?
I need time to get my house in order. Uh-oh.
That's not good.
That's not good, no.
But we were in John chapter 21, and last week we kind of talked about the barbecue on the beach, and how Jesus had some fish and some toast ready for those guys. And they caught this big load of fish after he told them to put the net over the right side of the boat, kind of reminiscent of Luke chapter 5, put out into the deep and lower your nets.
Right.
And then they realized it was him, because at first they weren't quite sure. John says it's the Lord. Peter jumps in the water, goes running toward the shore.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And the food's already there.
And then they're afraid to ask him any questions.
Yeah, they don't want to ask him any more questions. Yeah.
So we had, you know, we mentioned that, you know, God does want us to come to him and talk with him.
Yes.
He does want our conversation with him.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to be like at arm's length away from him.
Yes.
He wants to walk with us personally.
Yeah. The neat thing there is he says, children, have you caught anything?
Yeah.
And he knew very well they hadn't caught anything.
Yeah.
But like you say, he wanted to hear it from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times, like when we're struggling with something, I find that I might be struggling with something, and then I realize I really haven't talked with the Lord about this. I've kind of bellyached a little bit about it.
Yeah.
But I haven't said, okay, Lord, what do you want? Or what are you trying to teach me? Or how really should I do this?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then it becomes clear, and it's like, okay.
I think we all do that.
Yeah, we do. We really can do that.
I think there's a lot of ministries and churches that have a lot of meetings and have a lot of subcommittees. And
in a lot of ways, you know, we're like Peter.
Yeah.
Jesus says one thing and Peter goes, oh, yeah, I got that. Okay, I'm on it. And we go, okay, I got that. Yeah, I'm on it. And then we start getting busy with stuff. We go, oh, wait a minute. Why isn't this working out the way I thought it would?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that's not the right path, or maybe that's not the path that the Lord had intended.
Yeah.
And it's not going to work because he wants you to take a different path, because it's going to be more fruitful.
Yeah. I like thinking about the fact that they had these 153 fish. It even tells us how many they got.
Yeah.
And those other guys are like struggling to bring in the fish. Peter jumps out of the boat and goes to the shore. And I just wonder if some of those guys said, hey, wait a minute, where are you going?
Get over here and help, man.
We could use a little more help here. But the interesting thing is, you know, Peter always has that zeal, like you just alluded to, which is, you know, oh, these, you can't trust these guys, but I'll go there and die with you. But, you know, he's always ready to say something.
Yep.
And, but, you know, Jesus, he accepts that. He's happy Peter's coming. He's happy those other guys are coming with the fish. Mm-hmm. Peter then does go back and help them bring the boat. But, you know, everybody meets Jesus at the shore.
Right.
Everybody's meets him at this table of, you know, some barbecued fish and some toast, as I like to call it. And, you know, Jesus is pleased with both of them. They all have different personalities, different gifts. You know, some of them are probably quiet. Thomas is there they were probably waiting for Thomas to say, I don't know. I don't know if these fish are real or not. But, you know, all these people with different personalities, different responses, they all come and they find provision on the shore. He's calling them children and asking them if they caught anything, but he already has breakfast cooking for them. And then he says, bring some of those fish here that you caught. And I don't know if they had to clean them, but, you know, he's caring for their practical needs too.
Yeah.
Because now he's already told them some time ago that they were going to be fishers of men.
Right.
And here they are being fishers of fish, but he's taking care of them, taking care of their physical needs.
Right.
And they went fishing because that was their work for the most part. And well, a lot of them was their work, but this was their work and they brought their work to him. And that's what we have to do as well. You know, we all have work that we do.
Right.
Whether it's your job, whether it's your ministry that you do, either as your job or, quote, part-time, unquote, or whatever, wherever you are, you have to bring your work to him rather than making a whole list of things that you're going to do, not even checking with him if that's what he wants you to do.
Yeah.
Or not even praying with some other brothers and sisters about what you should be doing. But making out a whole plan of action, and then when it doesn't work out, say, well, maybe this wasn't what I was supposed to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah, because in essence, you may just very well waste a lot of time.
Yes.
Waste a lot of precious time that you can't get back.
Yeah.
So, you know, as you're saying that, he does provide for them physically, but he's also going to provide for them spiritually.
Right.
You know, God wants, as I'm recalling as my wife and I were in healing ministry a lot. You know, God wants to heal us on five different areas. You know, relationally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and psychologically. He wants to heal us in all those areas because those are the areas that get broken.
Yeah.
And just through the course of life, things happen to people, and interacting with other people, you know, we inadvertently hurt each other, sometimes not knowingly. But whether it is knowingly or unknowingly, the Lord is always there, and he always wants to bring his love into that situation.
Yes, exactly.
And heal that so that you can be free and that you can be fruitful.
Even if it's a terrible situation.
Exactly. It could be the worst situation that you can ever imagine, but God still wants to heal the person of that event.
Yes.
And so that they can be a fruitful,
yes,
a fruitful, you know, just like a tree, that the tree is healthy, it produces fruit, and it gives nourishment to others. I mean, that's our role as a disciple, that we're healthy, we produce fruit, and we can nourish others with the gospel.
Yeah.
You know?
You don't hear much about that nowadays, producing fruit.
No.
But that's a big thing in the gospels. Big thing. And interesting, too, here that Jesus serves them the food.
Yeah.
Everything's already ready.
Yeah.
He doesn't say, okay, Peter, I'm going to sit down. You guys go bring me some fish and some bread.
Yeah.
And did anybody bring orange juice? Is the coffee ready yet?
Yeah.
Or he's got everything made for them. And he doesn't make them serve him because he's just called them children.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, a fatherly and brotherly care. I mean, just like the kingdom, everything's ready. And they're a little timid, like you mentioned. They don't quite know what to ask them. They don't quite know what to say. I mean, nobody says, so how long have you been out here cooking the fish and making the toast? And, you don't have to do that. You know, we'll take care of it. And, what are you doing here anyway? And,
he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
And he's serving them.
Yeah, he serves them. And he can even eat with them. You know, his glorified body, just like in the upper room when he says, you got anything to eat? And they give him a piece of fish and he eats it. Now, you know, he sits and has breakfast with them.
Yeah.
And this is pretty remarkable. So all the provisions are there and they get served. You know, so it's kind of like, you know, we go into the kingdom. The kingdom's, you know, we're helping to build the kingdom, but the kingdom is there.
Yeah.
I mean, when we go to heaven, we're not going to say, oh, listen, you need any help like me building anything here or doing anything and everything's ready.
Yeah.
And as you were talking about before, it reminded me that people get caught up in different situations. And, you know, like these guys, their biggest situation was, oh, we didn't catch any fish. Bummer. But, you know, you can get caught up in pretty serious situations and you can think, well, now I've lost everything that the Lord wants me to do because I'm in the middle of this situation. I've done things that I shouldn't have done. I've said things I shouldn't have said. Now I've screwed up the whole thing. But he's always there waiting. You know, he's always there waiting at the shore. And if you bring that stuff to him, he gets into it, as you pointed out, because he's always willing to help to rectify our situations and not only to solve the problems, but to get rid of our shame, our guilt, our, you know, our, the contempt we have for ourselves, the contempt we have for the other person we've been arguing with, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
He wants to get rid of that. Mm-hmm. And in 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes, you know, cast all your anxiety on him. And, yeah, I don't think we really do that much.
No. No, not a lot. You know, I'm thinking about in Jesus' time, you know, they would have used an example of a ship because a ship has a rudder.
Yeah.
And a rudder steers the ship.
Right.
And, it, you know, it takes it to its course or its destination. And a lot of times Jesus wants to, you know, he wants to make that adjustment in our life so that we are on the proper course.
Yes.
On the proper alignment and walking in a right relationship with him. That we can be fruitful and that we can bear that fruit, you know, like he talks about in the parable of the sower, that you're going to bear a yield of 30, 60, or 100 fold for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's preparing them. He's really preparing them for what's going to come next. And that is the promise of the Father.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He's reminding them of things that have happened before. Just like you said in back in Luke, he told them, put out to the deep. Lord, you know, we've been out here all night, but at your command, we'll do what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And they catch a load of fish, 153 of them, just like here.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has to remind them, wow, a couple years ago, the same thing happened.
Yes.
He's talked about us being fishers of men. What is that?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And Pentecost hasn't happened yet.
Right.
So these guys are still kind of like, well, what are we doing? What's happening here?
The clock's ticking.
I mean, He told us all this stuff, and then he was dead, and now he's alive, and he's making fish for us.
Yeah. This is a cool breakfast, man.
Hey, man, yeah, this is, we were going to go to Denny's, but I'm glad we came here first. But, we probably should get to what we wanted to talk about today.
Which is?
shorter, the shorter show's killing me.
I know.
But Stephen, why don't you read, we're in John 21, verse 15.
Okay.
It's kind of cool that it starts when they had finished breakfast, but like 15 through 19, let's do that.
When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs. He then said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was distressed that he had said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to him, follow me.
Let's stop there for a minute. Let me just say without elaborating, so much for the prosperity gospel. Now, we have to see, too, Peter, and I think we mentioned this last week, he had denied the Lord three times mm-hmm. at a crucial, critical time, an emotional, gut-wrenching, just, I mean, I don't even know how to describe it, a horrible time. And Jesus has never brought this up, was up in the upper room twice, never brought up the fact that Peter had denied him. Where at this point, this appearance, there's nothing in it about, why did you deny me? You know, he could have sat Peter down and said, listen, three times, you didn't even deny me once, three times. You got scared off by a servant girl. I was trusting you. You were supposed to be the leader of these guys. And this is what I get out of you. I don't know the guy. Now, come yeah. on. But he doesn't do that. Peter's probably a little bit worried about this, a little bit worried about where he stands.
Yeah.
Because after all, if you do something that immense, I don't even know the good word to use. You do something that huge, you got to be thinking about it a lot.
Yeah.
So from the time that it happened until this time, I'm sure 20 times a day it crosses his mind, I denied him.
It's almost like it's really a betrayal.
I denied him. I betrayed him. Judas betrayed him to the guards. I just betrayed him to a servant girl. I can't believe I did that. So he's probably a little worried about this.
Yeah.
He's seen him the other two times at least, and he sees him now. And so after they have breakfast, he talks to Peter in kind of an unusual way. And in English, it all sounds kind of silly because it all uses the same word, love. But this denial has never mentioned. He's called them friends. He's called them children. And now he goes into this, what sounds like an unusual conversation, but Peter had shown some repentance. You know, he went off and wept bitterly.
Mm-hmm.
He probably, repented many, many times of this, and it's been forgiven. Even though he denied the Lord himself three times, that horrible sin was forgiven, apparently, at this point. Because it's not brought up. And now we get to this question of, do you love me? Which comes three times. Interestingly, Jesus calls Peter by his given name, Simon. Goes back to the beginning. Mm. Doesn't call him Peter. Doesn't call him Cephas. Doesn't call him even Simon Peter. Calls him Simon, which is his name. You know, his Hebrew name is Shimon. And Jesus renames him Peter, which means rock, and Cephas, which means rock. But now he takes the title of rock away from him at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Just calls him Simon.
Yeah.
So he kind of like takes him back to the beginning, like a little more of a humbling thing, you know, from, well, you're the rock, and on this rock I'm going to build my church, to, okay, Simon, I'm going to ask you a question. And it's kind of interesting. He uses that he at Caesarea Philippi gives him the name Peter, but now this kind of reminds Peter of how far he's come during all this.
Yeah, he's saying he calls him three times, Simon, son of John. That's his earthly origin.
His earthly origin.
It's not his heavenly calling.
That's right.
But it's his earthly origin.
Yeah.
And Jesus is, Jesus is reminding him, Simon, son of John, do you love me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Simon, son of John is who he was before he encountered the Lord.
Right.
Now he's encountered the risen Christ.
Hmm.
And, even before all that happened, Jesus says, you are Peter, you're Cephas, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church.
Mm-hmm.
This is your calling, Peter. This is who you are. This is who God's created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And Peter goes back to his former self.
Yes.
And it's a great example for everybody who wants to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How we can easily fall back to our old earthly heritage.
Yeah.
Because what awaits us is a heavenly inheritance that we can't even imagine.
Yeah.
But yet we go back to, oh gosh, that can't be for me. Man, now I'm just going to go back to where I was at.
Yeah, let's go fishing.
Just go fishing. Yeah, and even after, you know, after the Lord had risen, or when, you know, Peter was going to go back fishing, that's what he was ready to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, he's gone. He's dead. He's, well, I'm just going to go back fishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a great example for us because we can think, oh man, you know, I feel like the Lord's not there anymore.
Mm.
Wow, what is he, you know, what happened? I was walking real close with him and gosh, I, you know, maybe I haven't really heard him lately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess he's done with me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a great example for all of us because God's not done with us.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a lull in the conversation a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's not done with us.
No.
He hasn't put us on the sideline and goes, well, yeah, one mistake, you're out. Two mistakes, you're out. Three mistakes, you're out. No, I mean, God's mercy and love is eternal, and his forgiveness is eternal. So he really does want us to follow him from our own heart. I mean, a lot of it, I think, sometimes is, does God test us? I think he does.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I think he does, because he tested Adam and Eve.
Yeah.
I don't want you to eat from that tree.
Is this going to involve pruning? Is that what we're getting to?
Well, every gardener.
Oh,
is,
I knew we were going to get to pruning.
Yeah, so,
I thought about that all this week. I was cutting branches off of trees and trimming shrubs, thinking, "Oh, this is pruning."
And see, you bring up a good question. Is this going to involve pruning? Because the very next couple of sentences, Peter wants to take the light of what Christ is showing him off of himself and go, "What about that
other guy,
Lord?
Yeah.
Come on, this is too much." Hey, what about that other guy?
Yeah, you
what
gotta
about
love,
him?
Yeah, we gotta love Peter. We're gonna have to get that into the next show, but.
And how many of us really, I just want to say this, how many of us really, when somebody sees something in us and they go, oh, I think you'd be good at this. Oh, no, not me, no, 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 no.
Yeah. Well, exactly.
No, don't shine the light on me,
that's
not
right,
me.
That's right.
And we fail to fully become who God's created us to be.
Yeah. Well, isn't it interesting too, though, that this conversation, Jesus doesn't ask him, so what have you been doing since I last saw you? You've been praying? You've been studying the scriptures?
You've been denying anybody else?
You've been fasting?
Yeah.
What have you been doing? No, he says, do you love me?
Yeah.
And we're going to get to the loves, but I'm afraid that the time is ticking down. But he doesn't ask him if he's been doing any of these, you know, spiritual disciplines that we do. He only asked him, do you love me?
Yeah.
And, and we all know that in English, there's only one word for love.
Right.
Which makes this passage sound weird. But in the Greek, there's three, actually four words for love, but there's two different words for love used here, which makes the passage very powerful because Jesus is asking Peter about supernatural love.
Yeah.
Which is agape.
Yeah.
And Peter's responding with brotherly love, which is phileo, and, you know, where Philadelphia comes from, and city of brotherly love. I remember learning that from the time we were in kindergarten.
Yeah.
But Peter just doesn't even get the level of this that it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I emphasized before that this is before Pentecost. They really didn't understand. It's easy for us to look back and say, I can't believe Peter doesn't get this.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we always talk about in real time.
Right.
You know, if we were going through that today, would we get what had just happened? I mean, it would be pretty difficult.
Yeah.
And soon, you know, when the Spirit comes, the promise of the Father, as you mentioned, you know, they're going to be clothed with power from above. Ooh,
right.
I can't wait. It's Pentecost. But, you know, at this point, their minds are not open like that yet.
No.
They are still simple guys who are fishermen. They're not exactly, you know, quoting scriptures saying, oh, maybe this fulfills the prophecy of da, 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 da. They're not really into all of that. They really try to understand what's going on.
Yeah, they're trying to process.
Peter's still worried about, I denied him. Thomas is still thinking, oh, man, you know, I should have never done that. I don't believe it business. And Jesus asked Peter, do you love me?
Yeah.
With a supernatural love. But I already hear music.
I know.
Oh, no.
With a supernatural love that maybe Peter doesn't understand yet.
No.
Yeah.
But we'll do that next week. Hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we just pray that as Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? that you would reflect upon those words and recall in your own heart, do I really love the Lord with all my heart, all my mind, and with all my strength? God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.